The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine
and BlackEnterprise.com.
The first article is titled Resume Rundown, Jamaica Martin. The Rosen Skincare founder is spearheading the next generation of clean beauty products. When she witnessed the lack of effective yet clean skincare for Black women during the late 2010s, Jamaica Martin decided to immerse herself in developing a brand to fill the space. Today, Rosen Skincare addresses skin concerns of all generations. We meet with Martin to discuss how she distinguishes her brand in a saturated market and what it takes to be a beauty founder. Essence asks the question, what was your very first job and what were the skills you learned that have guided you through your career? Jamaica Martin responded, I started at concessions and eventually became a cabana girl, server at a local water park. Working there, I developed dedication, timeliness, and listening skills, all of which helped me understand how far I can go if I work hard. Essence asks another question. How did you begin to formulate your products seemingly without prior knowledge of chemistry? Martin responded, in 2016, I would do a lot of DIY formulas from Pinterest and by researching the ingredients I wanted to home in on. When it came to formulating products, a lot was self-taught through online courses like cosmetic chemistry. Essence asks the question, how does Rosen Skincare fill the void within the acne and hyperpigmentation space, despite an influx of brands and products on the market? Martin responded, when I started Rosen, there weren't a lot of products focused on dark spots and hyperpigmentation. The positioning of the brand, what I do and who I do it for, has remained the same. It's for Black women. There's still a lack of innovation and brand connection with Black women within the skincare space generally, whereas they are the focus of every formula we make. Essence asked, in 2021, you raised an investment fund of $2 million, bringing Rosen Skincare to mega retailers. What were some of the challenges you faced during this process, and how did you navigate them? Martin responded, I spent a long time building relationships while bootstrapping. My saying, here's what's going on with Rosen, or I'm having trouble with this marketing campaign. What do you think? Allowed people to see the growth in the work that I was doing, which convinced them to say, this is something that we believe in and that we're willing to invest in. After we got all the capital, understanding how to plan out cash flow and spend it effectively was trickier. Essence asked another question. What advice would you give to prospective founders who aim to break into beauty business? Martin responded, customers need help understanding why they should shop your brand instead of what they're already shopping for. Consider your competition and make that point of differentiation more transparent for your customers. The next article is titled Beauty and the Beat. Beauty is an evolution, and impeccable looks have contributed to the way we see ourselves. From the melodies of Motown to the rhymes of hip-hop, Black music has always been a force in shaping cultural identity. But in a more subtle way, Black music has also left its mark on beauty. Iconic musicians have influenced not just what we listen to, but also how we express ourselves aesthetically.
our hairstyles, and makeup choices find inspiration in the music created by Black entertainers. Black people and their melanin have long been a symbol of elegance, and Black performers and their beauty routines have inspired us all to mimic some of their classic looks. Hairstyles have echoed Motown stars with beehives and bouffants, mirroring the grandeur of the Supremes. Meanwhile, the flamboyant looks of Little Richard and the eclectic glam of Prince represent unapologetic self-expression. These artists have stood the test of time, and their beauty is etched into our memories. Beyond the sonic legacies of these stars, their album covers and music videos have been masterclasses on Black beauty. These captivating visuals, frozen in history, are more than just art. They have become our signature. Black musicians have not only crafted masterpieces with their music, but have served as beauty influencers, shaping the way we perceive and celebrate our own unique beauty. Navigating an industry historically entrenched in Eurocentric beauty standards, Black people have long made do. For a time, the beauty industry failed to represent the diverse range of skin tones and features specific to Black women. The oversight compelled the women and their makeup artists to adapt to the limited options available, using products that didn't always address their needs. Celebrity makeup artist Sam Fine's work is a testament to this, as he has dusted the faces of some of our most beloved musical artists. Fine worked with supermodels Naomi Campbell and Iman, and his contributions to fashion naturally influenced music. He introduced an elevated standard that was glamorous, enhancing the beauty of the music industry's biggest stars. I felt like everything that I was doing on Naomi and Tyra Banks and Veronica Webb in fashion was starting to cross over into music, he says. Notable among Fine's masterpieces are the flawless looks he crafted for Mary J. Blige in connection with her My Life album, for Brandy in the Broken Hearted video, and for Janet Jackson with her video for Doesn't Really Matter. Each of these looks marks a significant anniversary this year, with former two hitting the 30-year mark and the later video celebrating its 24th. Despite a lack of inclusion in the beauty industry, Fine found himself on the cusp of innovation, using products in new ways. For example, he used eyeshadow for blush and contour because you need deeper, richer shades for Black women. Navigating the products and the looks was very challenging during that time, he recalls. Reflecting on his earliest experiences as a makeup artist, when you get into the Patti LaBelle's and the Gladys Knight's, you have to dig deep and find other shades in various places that will work in place of what they were meant for. So it's a deep brown eyeshadow, but I'm going to use it as a contour. Those were just the kinds of things that we had to do during the early 90s. The 90s were a massive breakout period for Blige, and her makeup looks were indicative of it. Her sophomore release, My Life, followed her debut album, What's the 411? Just as listeners were getting a deeper peek into who Blige was. Similar to her debut, her second album cover showed Blige's profile slightly hidden by a leather newsboy hat, with her cheeks and lips more pronounced. The blue hue on the cover gave it a soulful feel. However, in its original gradient, Blige donned a statement red lip. It was deep burgundy, Fine says. I felt like there was always this kind of harsh beauty. She gave it to you a little bit more raw, but there was always this luxe. Mary's kind of rough and tough and has this soulful voice. She's never going to show her eyes. She's always going to put on glasses. So it's in keeping with so much of what we started before, having never really seen a lot of Mary, but always this beautiful mouth. Fine continued to improvise, especially when it came to a nude lip. Doing nude lips was avant-garde almost, because you had to find the right lipsticks. You had to find the right glosses, he explains. You really had to sometimes use concealers, sometimes use foundation to mimic this nude lip color in a way that even the general market hadn't addressed. Similarly, for Brandy's debut in 1994, Fine crafted the face behind her single Broken Hearted, which featured Juan Ye Morris of Boys to Men. However, instead of a more mature look, Fine opted for neutrals befitting a 15-year-old Brandy at the time. Doing Broken Hearted was huge, and Brandy was a teenager, Fine recalls. We had to do things that would keep her beautiful and elevated, just not make her look too grown. Working with Brandy in the 90s was a distinctive experience because, as a new artist, there wasn't much pushback about her style. Fine created a stunning look for the girl who would become the princess of R&B. Once again, another dark mouth, white liner, beige liner inside the inner rim was big then, he says. Bleached brows, a softened golden brow was very important to me at that time as well. Paired with Brandy's unmistakable braids, it was a look most teenage girls in the 90s wanted to achieve. By the 2000s, Janet Jackson had already released landmark albums including Janet, 1993, and The Velvet Rope, 1997. However, when the age of Y2K arrived, futuristic music videos were in. While Janet didn't release another album until 2001, her song, Doesn't Really Matter, made for the 2000 film Nutty Professor 2, The Clumps, had a futuristic theme, and Fine's vision highlighted her distinctive beauty in that vein. Jackson's makeup was radiant, and Fine's nude lip appeared once again, but the most elegant feature was the singer's pin-thin brows. Really strong eyes, strong brows, Fine says. Brows weren't nearly as prominent as they are today, so tweezing and bleaching was huge. Jackson's look accentuated her features and didn't overshadow her natural beauty. The elegance she exuded was something we'd see throughout the 2000s. Ultimately, by embracing their unique styles, these musicians shattered beauty norms, inspiring fans to explore their own aesthetic identities. The fusion of music and visual artistry transformed these singers into cultural icons, shaping the way we appreciate beauty today. The next article is titled, When Lightning Strikes, Meet Some of the Black Women Who Embody the Electrifying Power of Today's Labor Movement. It is my undying belief that Black women are the tide that raises all ships, says Andrea Thornton Bolden, a showrunner and executive producer. It's not a strange sight at all to see Black women in the forefront of many movements, because those are the spaces where we tend to find ourselves. It's an intrinsic part of who we are. Bolden is one of more than 500,000 people who participated in a labor strike in 2023. From Hollywood writers and actors to auto workers and teachers, a burgeoning labor movement has swept the country, with hundreds of thousands of union employees taking to picket lines to fight for higher wages, safer working conditions, and greater job security. A Writers Guild of America, WGA member, Bolden helped lead the union's picketing as a strike captain at NBC Universal. The reason this strike was so important to us is that our career was under threat, she explains. You had different media entities wanting to find ways to pay us less using AI. They kept hiring smaller and smaller staffs to write the shows, so you also had fewer people doing way more work and getting paid less. After 148 days on strike, making this the second longest labor action in WGA's 104-year history, writers came to an agreement with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, AMPTP. They voted overwhelmingly in favor of a 3-year contract that secured pay increases, regulated AI use on projects, improved staffing and duration provisions, and achieved streaming data transparency. Strikes are challenging, Bolden says. I personally hadn't been trained in labor organization, but I was ready and willing to do it because I believed in what we were fighting for. I am proud, and I hope one day tell my future grandchildren that I was a captain in the strike that perhaps was the turning point for the labor revolution in America. Labor organizing has extensive roots for Black people. One of the earliest examples in the United States is the 1881 Atlanta Washerwoman Strike, in which a group of formerly enslaved Black laundresses came together to demand better compensation. Historically, Black labor has shaped the nation and its economy. More than 140 years after the Atlanta Strike, Black women remain at the forefront of union leadership and labor organizing. For Patricia Johnson Gibson, advocacy runs in the family. My late father, Melvin Gorman Sr., was a union employee for the United States Postal Service, she says. I learned a lot of history about how unions can be effective because of the experiences he went through. While in her second term as VP of Healthcare at Service Employees International Union, SEIU, Local 105, Johnson Gibson worked alongside 11 other union members on the national bargaining team and led a 3-day strike in Colorado. This walkout was part of the largest health care strike in U.S. history, involving more than 75,000 Kaiser Permanente employees across multiple states, including California, Washington, and Oregon. U.S. health care facilities have been dangerously understaffed for years, with the COVID-19 pandemic further exacerbating workforce shortages. As Johnson Gibson states, this is the worst crisis I've ever seen in the 26 years that I've worked for Kaiser. I believe that's because They've made a decision to stretch people as thin as they can at the risk of patient care. About 1 week after the historic strike, Kaiser Permanente and a coalition of unions reached a landmark tentative deal that includes bonuses, strong protections against outsourcing, improved medical benefits for retired employees, and a 21% wage increase over 4 years. It's a huge change because that fight alone keeps people from sleeping in their cars and being unhoused, says Johnson Gibson. Working for a multi-billion-dollar organization, that should never happen. According to Cornell University's Labor Action Tracker, there were roughly 400 strikes across the U.S. from January 1, 2023 to November 30, 2023. Additionally, per the Bureau of Labor Statistics, Black workers continue to have a higher union membership rate than any other racial group. Among the most recent U.S. labor actions was the Portland Association of Teachers, PAT, strike, in which public school educators like Angela Bonella spent weeks fighting for smaller class sizes, higher wages, safer working conditions, and better student mental health support. Bonella, who is from the Bronx, joined PAT during the 2016-2017 school year as an educator. Since then, she has worked her way up the union ladder. In 2022, she was elected as the organization's first Afro-Latina president. Every school that I have ever worked at had a really strong union culture, she says. When I felt powerless at work, I leaned into union work because that's where the power was. After several months of bargaining with Portland Public Schools, PPS, and making little progress, PAT members went on strike for the first time in the group's 30-year history. We were on strike because our students deserve more than they've been given, Bonella explains. We are tired of having rats and mold in our schools, asbestos tiles in our classrooms, falling on kids' heads, and extreme heat because there's no air conditioners. The teachers' strike began on November 1st, 2023. Nearly 4 weeks later, PAT and PPS came to a tentative agreement and successfully ratified a 3-year contract. In addition to the new class size limits and improved mental health support for students, it provides a cumulative 13.75% cost of living increase for educators, among other provisions. History matters. We're only here because of all the work that comes before me, says Bonella. When we're out here fighting for our kids, we're going to make sure that we get great public schools for every student. We are just grateful for the support that our families and communities have given us because it keeps us going. The prior organizing work that Bonella mentions sets precedents for labor leaders today, when segregation and racial discrimination excluded Black people from some of the most powerful unions in America. Black women labor leaders took matters into their own hands by forming their own organizations. Unfortunately, labor inequities persist, with Black women still disproportionately affected by the pandemic, overrepresented in low-wage jobs, and negatively impacted by racial and gender pay gaps. Nonetheless, history has shown that through unionization, collective action, and worker solidarity, change is possible. Given ongoing challenges in the job market, Black women remain the backbone of the labor movement, and they continue to lead present-day struggles for economic justice. The recent strikes have sent a clear message that people are willing to fight and stand together because we want to do what's right by the folks that carry those industries, says Johnson Gibson. We are the frontline faces that people see. No one ever sees a CEO. I think it's time that people pay attention to the labor movement. We are here. We are not going anywhere. The next article is from BlackEnterprise.com and is titled Black Promoters Collective Has Great Success Entertaining 41,000 at Jazz in the Gardens Music Festival. Up to 16,000 people were expected to attend the 2024 Jazz in the Garden Music Festival in the city of Miami Gardens. Black Promoters Collective, BPC, co-founder Troy Brown told Black Enterprise. That's twice the previous year's headcount when Live Nation coordinated the notable event. When it was all said and done, Brown and his eight business partners, Gary Goudry, Shelby Joyner, William Ingram, Shahida Mossy, Lionel Bay, Sulina Mean, Masai, Janice Cotton, and Walter Reeder partnered with the City of Miami Gardens and pulled off a monumental festival that was well attended to the tune of 41,000 people. The successful partnership came after one of the members met the city's Vice Mayor Katrina Wilson. I was at the Ben Crump Law School dedication at St. Thomas University, and Brown walked in behind Will Smith, Wilson told Black Enterprise. They say, that's the guy from the Black Promoter Collective. And I ask, what's the Black Collector? They say, oh, they do concerts all around. Wilson continued, I say, go get him. He's going to do Jazz in the Gardens. That chance meeting led to an unforgettable weekend that kicked off with activations around the city. The first being a tasting event on March 8th at City Hall that showcased culinary businesses that would be on deck at Jazz in the Gardens Festival, like Popo's Seafood, known for its insanely delicious conch salad and sticky wings, TJ's Southern Kitchen, Grills on Wheels, Reed's Sea Catering, and Reggae Beats Food Truck. For International Women's Day, the City of Miami Gardens hosted the Women's Impact Luncheon with singer extraordinaire Fantasia as keynote speaker. Attendees included local dignitaries, Divine Nine sororities, and Miami Gardens residents. The true highlight of the day, our main speaker was Fantasia Barrino, Nikki Mohan said. There was a group of young girls from an elementary school in Miami Gardens, and she advised them to be confident. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I am Ava Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.